Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse. Grant Bills alongside Paul Imig is here. We made it to the end of the Bucks game, me and my boy, for those of you following that riveting storyline. 9:30 on a Thursday. No school the next day. He was super into it. You know what I heard the other day is he was so Tuesday morning. I got him in. I think he's in basketball more than football because it's every night.
Yeah.
So I had to buy league pass because of him. First time I've ever bought league pass. Because he's like, Daddy, I don't understand why we can't see all the games.
Wow, this kid's ahead of his time.
I go, well, we only get so many games. He goes, but I want to watch Bulls Kings right now. I go, all right, if you want to, I'll turn it on. Because he knew, you know, he looks at my ESPN app. So I think it was yesterday, 2 days ago. I'm like in and out of sleep. You know, when they get up in the morning, she takes him to school. Some days, thank God I sleep through it. Some days it's like, I can't. And I heard him down the hall going, or I heard my wife say, Daddy needs to sleep. He works hard for us at night. She's being just a great, you know, thank you, honey. But he's like, but I want to see the scores. So I told him today, I said, even if mommy says, come in bed with me. So he came in and we looked at the scores and I don't know, is this a phase? Is this forever? I don't know.
It's a good start.
Russillo Winkler, sounds like.
Yeah. He goes to me, Dad, do you actually watch the games? If you actually watch the games. I had a guy call in last night. Do you actually watch the games? Max Crosby sucks. He's like, he didn't do anything against the Bills. I'm like, last time he played the Bills was September of last year. He had six tackles. It looked like he did just fine. He's played the Bills twice in his career. I blew up at callers last night, mainly for saying the – oh, I was telling Carlos off the air. I was telling – I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
The biggest L I ever took is when we had Kevin Harlan on Bill's show, and – he called in late because the power went out or whatever. This was over the summer. And something came up on the air that I was joking. We were talking about it off the air. And Kevin goes, before I came on with you, Bill, I was talking to your man back there. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, that just, I don't know why that. He was doing his best. He can't remember everyone's name. And I'm like, oh, I wish he would have just said nothing now. Anyways.
Why is it when guests say your name, you're like,
it's endearing,
but
it is Paul.
Mm-hmm.
but like you book these people on your show, you say it's the name of your name's in the show, and then Kevin Harlan will be like, "Well, you know what, Bart?" And I'm like, "We said it."
I can't relate to that, but with other people, I can. With Rob Reichel, I get it a lot of names in that one.
Robbie gets you three names and answer.
Yeah, he's good.
These are things
you teach, though. You teach this.
Yeah.
You teach, say the host name.
How are you gentlemen doing?
Good.
Good. By the way, if you wanted to watch Bulls Kings, he's not like into the NBA per se. He's a junkie already. I'm pretty sure he likes Bulls Kings.
And he wanted to watch Wizards Jazz last night over... over Celtics. No, not over. Over maybe Heat Knicks. I don't know. There was a game that mattered more. But he wanted to watch the Wizards because he knows they have 10 wins. And he knows they're in last place. So he wanted to see if they could get to 11.
Hmm.
And he always asked me, like, maybe I've told you this, but he always asked me, who's better? Who's better? He's obsessed with who's better. Because then he still thinks, like, it's an upset. So the Bucks with 33 wins beating the Nuggets with 37. That was incredible to him.
He witnessed the miracle on ice, basically, every time he sees that happen.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, I don't know. There's a game this Saturday. I might go to it again, but now I don't want to, like, overdo it, you know?
I looked at Badgers tickets because it's their last home game of the year. It's their last regular season game. And nosebleeds were, like, $220. I'm like, I'm not. I can't.
I was gonna take my kids to a college basketball game, but I decided I love them too much to do that.
It's just a weird, this is a you thing. Plenty of people like college basketball. I'm not watching St. Mary's and on bracketology.com. I just watch my team. And then when they're not on, if Marquette's on, I turn that game on and I cheer against them. Great win for the Huskies last night.
But yeah, it's probably more expensive, or at least as expensive, but probably more expensive than a Bucks game.
Yeah, $220 for a nosebleed.
Sucks.
Who is it? Badgers who?
Penn State. Penn State's the worst team in the Big Ten. They're terrible. But it's the last game. It's a Saturday matinee. But they're not cheap tickets.
That's really actually startling.
What's the face value on those?
I don't know, but my girlfriend's coworker once upon a time when we were at a function was like, hey, I have Badger season tickets. If you guys ever want to go, just shoot me a text anytime and I'll sell them to you for face value. And I'm like, that's not where I thought that sentence was going. When you started, I my hopes were high, but then you finished saying what you were going to say. Like, I thought you were going to offer me tickets sometime, but that's not.
You ever want them 15% over face?
Yeah, no, shit.
Something you just said confused me. You said my girlfriend. When I was at the Radio Row before the Super Bowl, I was told wife.
I did say that to Jenny Taft and one other person, and I can't remember who the other person was, but it was someone with like Twin Cities, Minneapolis. Well, I think Jenny Taft's from Edina, technically, but Twin Cities.
Were they both women? Did you go wife with the women and girlfriend with the dude?
Ooh, good
question. No, no. If I did, it wasn't on purpose. Obviously, it wasn't on purpose.
You tell Paige Sporanic that you're totally single?
I got in and out of that.
You got, I'm sorry, what,
as
you get,
quickly
what?
As possible.
Did you just say you got in and out of that?
Yeah, clip that. I said hello and got a picture and ended that interaction as quickly as possible.
Why?
I just want the picture. I don't even care that I'm meeting you. I just want the picture so I can tweet it. You know what I mean? Like, and she was very nice. Like, yeah, absolutely, I'll get a picture, you know? I'm like, thank you. We got to get you back to Milwaukee. She's like, I know, I love it there. I'm like, all right, That's good.
Remind me, though, did she know you were the one that made the thing?
Didn't ask. I told her people, I was like, hey, I kind of, it's like, I'm in Milwaukee. We liked her bobblehead day with the Brewers. Like, could I just get a quick picture? And I got it and got out of there.
You didn't say you made a 40-minute podcast mockumentary?
If you did that about a woman, would you lead with that?
Where Kurt Hoag did some of the finest work he's done still to this day?
Dude, it's unbelievable. He sounds like he's in a fucking Discovery Channel doc.
Oh my god. Oh, that's incredible.
All right, I'll ask one here and then
hit us, Paul.
Then I'll leave and come back.
Oh, okay.
Trey Hendrickson. Cincinnati Bengals. Star. I think he led the league in sacks this year, did he not?
Pert near.
Breaking news is being allowed to explore his trade options. This being on the same day that the DK Metcalf stuff comes back, this being right on the heels of Max Crosby re-signing with Oakland. My question is, all these big names that are coming up, you would encourage Packers fans to pay little mind to all of them, be it Hendrickson, be it Metcalf. Sports radio job aside, the fact that this gives you sports radio content, Packers fans should pay these names of little mind. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
Are you disappearing into the night?
In 4 minutes.
Oh, okay. And then you're coming back?
Yeah. If you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
You think
when are you coming back?
Well, yeah.
When are you coming back?
Shortly thereafter.
Are you sick?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Answer the question.
I am sick. I was sick and now I have it. I was like sick and it was like everything. And now I'm like, I would sacrifice a body part to be regular again. Really struggling there. I do want to talk about this from a fan perspective, but Grant, from a sports radio perspective.
Oh. I thought you were going to say owner perspective. I'll speak to the owner. You speak to the other two.
But I want to ask you about it because I feel like this is the time of year.
This is the time.
Where, you know, some nights are harder than others, but there is still football that you can like, you can make something out of it. There's enough ingredients that if you need to, let's say you're, you know, market size number three in the city and need to, or in the country and need to talk about backup quarterbacks, you can get a segment out of that.
A veteran backup, you mean specifically?
Yeah, other than Tyson Bagent, who I guess is not a veteran yet.
No, not yet.
When does that happen? I am just so, I feel like I said something to this extent the other night is, as a 40-year-old fan, I am beat down just from that in terms of, oh, we might get Randy Moss. Oh, we might get Marshawn Lynch. Oh, we might get Tony Gonzalez. Oh, we might get T. Higgins. Oh, like all this kind of stuff. I'm beat down from that.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm already like, I don't want to play the game because how often does it come true? And then when you do get a guy, it's out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like it's never like, oh, 4 weeks after this DK Metcalf saga, we now have DK Metcalf. It's like, guys, the Packers have Josh Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers have Xavier McKinney.
Yeah.
The Packers signed Za'Darius and Preston Smith. You know, it's like, where did this stuff come from? The Brewers traded for Christian Yelich.
Oh.
It's stuff that comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But then also being a part of the hyper-localized machine. You know, it's one thing for me tonight talk about Trey Hendrickson for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in Cincinnati.
You better get more than 15 minutes out of Trey Hendrickson tonight in a four-hour show. I mean, this is an indictment on the Bengals and their commitment to Burrow and what is Jamar. You got it. If you're only getting 15 minutes out of this, you're continue, though.
I think the Bengals, if they bring everybody back, they might be my Super Bowl pick.
Whoa.
If they bring everybody back.
Okay, there's more than 15 minutes there. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't like when the DK Metcalf stuff was happening last week, what was even happening? Some guy, it's always some guy that we've never heard of. And then it's like everyone else that we have heard of says, can confirm the interest in fucking fuck fucks. So I don't care. I don't want to talk about it at all. I understand it's a part of the job, more so for you right now than me, because I'm national big time, even though I bet more people know who you are than me. I'm so fucking irrelevant, my lord.
Different battlefield.
Yeah.
I broke him.
But you have to, the rumor mill is of interest to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can be the conduit of that, but I'm just like, fuck, I don't care. So that's where I am.
Grant.
So you're of the mind, wake me up when it's over. You know what I mean? Like if we get them, let me know. If not, I'll just save my time and energy.
Yeah, like if someone I love is in surgery, put me out cold too to wake up when they're done.
Honestly, sure. That hits way too hard for me because that's how I feel that way.
Like I don't want to, you got to wait for the doctor to come in and then you're judging the walk.
I can't even, you just caused a significant amount of anxiety for me because of how hard I relate to that.
All right. I mean,
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. It's like if someone's doing surgery, I'm like, I can't know. Just, don't tell me.
Yeah.
Just tell me like after, like, hey, there was a surgery. It went well. Oh, interesting. Thanks. But yeah.
My wife had surgery. I was in the waiting room with her parents and I was like, this is like how some movies start.
Oh, Christ. This is why people like us take the pills that we do.
Or order the pills to your house and then think you're too good for them and look at them every day and say, not today, fucker.
And then live to regret it for the remaining 23 hours and 59 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be right back.
Okay. Paul Emmick, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Emmick.
This DK Metcalf thing, I'm getting a lot of run out of this. And now that Trey Hendrickson is available too, it just gives another lane. You know, you could pick a lane, really, if you're a caller. You could say, I don't want DK Metcalf. I want them to add to the defense. And up until this point, I've said, okay, but DK Metcalf is available, so that's who we're talking about right now. You know what I mean? Well, now Trey Hendrickson is also on the table, so that's another avenue.
Is he, though?
Discuss. I mean, the Rams and the Bengals are not the same. The Rams have shown that they're serious about this thing.
But even they Max Crosby was never not staying.
No. That was always wishful thinking, but a lot of sports radio is wishful thinking. So that was never as real as what DK Metcalf has become or now what Trey Hendrickson has become. You know what I mean? Max Crosby, that's just offseason fodder that we're kicking around. That's nothing more. The DK Metcalf thing, and here's what I keep going back to on my show to try to legitimize whatever stupid rumor it is I'm talking about. Brian Gutekunst, unprompted at his end of season presser, said, it's time to up our sense of urgency. It's time to contend for championships. And then after the Super Bowl, we're all looking at the Eagles and Howie Roseman like, yeah, that dude's a lot better than our guy. Rob Domofsky puts out a story that's like, guys, Goody's the man with the plan. This has always been a three-year plan. For those of you who are excited about this year, why? It's always been about next year, and this is the offseason leading into year three. So between what Goody has said and what's been reported, this is the time. This is the place. I love accidentally quoting song lyrics, which I know you also do.
But it's the time. It's the season.
For DK Metcalf, he fits their measurables. They liked him in the draft. He enjoys blocking in the run game. He slots into Christian Watson's spot. And if I can ship out Romeo Doubs in the process, fuck yeah. Hell yeah. I'm all about it. And the Packers have been tied to this thing from the beginning. So I think that's very real. Trey Hendrickson, I don't know. That's very fresh. We'll see what progresses there. But DK Metcalf, no, I don't think that's a waste of time at all.
But if it doesn't happen, you get bogged down with... I don't also know where we need it. Okay, so DK Metcalf specifically.
Okay.
Do we... Like, he would be the number one receiver?
Yeah. Deep threat. You know, a guy who could definitely take the top off the defense.
But is that a number one receiver?
A burner, for sure, too.
I guess I'm asking, is he still a number one receiver? He wasn't in Seattle.
Sure he was.
No, it was JSN. Metcalf got four targets a game like the last seven weeks. He didn't have more than four catches in the game.
Last year was his worst year, for sure, in a while. But he's a veteran. He's proven. You're not waiting on him to develop. He plays a role. I mean, let me ask you this then. How many true number one? Name all the number one wide receivers in the NFL off the top of your head that you can.
I'm going to not do that. And instead.
Well, it's not that many. That was the whole point of the exercise, is you were supposed to get to like four and then be like, I don't know. And then I'd say, see?
Is Devontae still a number one?
No. Well, okay. A number one big picture. And no, I don't think he's a number one. But I think he could make number one plays when number one plays are required.
Let me go over what I always go over here.
Okay.
When it comes to the number one receiver thing that I struggle with. And while I'm thinking of doing that, why don't you check out this beautiful website? Look at this. It's happyplacehemp.com. Look at these 50 milligram gummies available for you. Available.
They have 50s?
50s.
Holy shit.
Look at that. Delta 8. Look at these beautiful seltzers. You can go from... Ooh, looks like we got the cherry ones on sale, folks. Cherry ones on sale, and that's before the promo code BART. Gummies. Dog treats. That's how I pay Tim. I get him on his knees and I give him little treats. Tim and I have been meeting on Friday nights after work. It's quite fun. We have a little Friday night 1:15 a.m. dates. We've done it twice.
That's ridiculous.
But then he's always like, hey, look. And it's Kevin Holden on FaceTime. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And he's like, I can't hear him. He can't hear me.
What is the bar that he likes again?
Oh, McGuire's.
McGuire's. Yeah, that's right.
HappyPlaceHemp.com. Promo code is BART. You put it in at checkout. You get 25% off your order each and every single time that you order. From there, you can also check them out in Muskego. With playing Madden, this is what I do. I get so caught up in the stats. I have a number one guy on my team, and he's the guy that I'm trying to, like, make his progression go. But I never throw to my outside guys because I only throw over the middle. I only ever run to the right, and I only throw over the middle.
Okay.
Or also to the right, or maybe sometimes to the left if I'm crazy on, like, an out. But so I end up using my slot guy the most, and then I'm like, no, I need to focus. I need to focus on my number one receiver. I create my number one receiver into a diva.
You just assume it. You bake it into the way you play the video game.
Yeah, like I'm playing one with the Giants, and Wandale Robinson's getting 12 catches a game, and Malik Nabers is 2. And I'm like, I need to get the ball to Malik. So then as soon as I drop back and think about Malik, I'm always throwing interceptions because I'm always focusing on one guy and making sure he gets his. And I do think that Josh Allen, when he stepped back, thought, oh, I need it. I need to know where Stephon Diggs is.
Okay.
There was a game that Stephon Diggs with the Texans, he was like 6 for 36, 2 touchdowns this year, and he was still pissed because he didn't get the ball enough. Then he got hurt, and I don't know where the fuck he's going to go. But if I'm thinking that in video games, I do feel like when there is a number one receiver, when does that happen and when does that not? When can you have a number one receiver and not, like, think of him on every play? Rodgers clearly thought of Devontae on every play.
But he didn't have anyone else. There was no one else Darnold, was good on
Darnold
that team.
Doesn't think about Jefferson on every play.
Yeah, because Jordan Addison is fucking awesome. And
Jefferson's not a bitch.
He'll get a little spicy.
I don't know.
He doesn't need to read a book on the sideline like AJ Brown, but, like, no, he'll show some frustration.
I don't know, like, that you need a number one receiver. Obviously number one receivers are great.
I thought I just told you that I don't think DK Metcalf is a pure number one league wide. It seemed like you were concerned, like, is he even a number one? And then I'm like, not really. And now you're like, but when you have a number one, you have all these issues.
I'm trying to figure that out, too, because there's so much Devontae back to Green Bay nonsense.
Guys, at the end with Rodgers, it was Devontae Adams and a bunch of bums is strong. But, like, what's his motivation? What's his angle? I got to feed Alan Lazard. I got to feed Malik Taylor. Remember him? I think that was his name. Like, I got to feed, who the hell was even playing tight end then? I don't know, Robert Tonyan? Like, no one else was there.
Look at my eyes. What the fuck happened to me?
They look bloodshot.
They do. And they're baggy as shit. They're more baggy than normal. They're like being transferred to fucking Delta's hub in Dallas.
Would you, here's the topic, I'm already seeing this.
I got to do something for Joe Zenzola. Sparky, you know about that? That's it. He just wanted me to do that.
Radio Joe wanted you to do that?
Yeah. And I couldn't find a way to fit it in good, so I just did it.
Well, that much is very clear. Would you rather pay $30 million for Hendrickson or for DK Metcalf?
Hendrickson.
Really? Why do you say that?
$30 million for DK?
The cap just went up. He's 27.
$30 million.
I don't even know if, but I'm just asking the question. Would you rather put the resources into one or the other?
Hendrickson.
Why?
You know what somebody asked me last night? They said, do these number one receivers even win Super Bowls?
I just told you, I don't even think he's a true number one. He's just a really nice piece in the prime of his career that fits exactly what the Packers need, especially now that, imagine Christian Watson, but even bigger and even stronger and even better, and he doesn't get hurt. Like, that's what we're dealing with here.
How active is his family on social media?
Dude, I get so sick of his dad.
I'll take DK if he promises not to try to wear number 14, because that's retired.
Well, then that I'm sure it won't be an issue then.
Yeah, I mean, if DK Metcalf became a Packer, I would be excited about it.
You should be. He's very good.
I also don't want to go through 2 months of if.
What do you mean if? As that could be 2 months. And if they don't get him, then we'll rip the Packers or we'll do the next topic. We'll go on to the next thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what went wrong with the Packers being in a spot where it was like, oh, look at this, guys. Devontae's gone, and that's better. Here's why. We've got six guys that are all number threes, and by their powers combined, they are Captain Planet. Like, what? Why did we think?
Who's that for? Who's that reference for? Whatever that's referencing. What is that? Is that a Marvel thing?
No, Captain Planet was a cartoon in the 90s.
Yeah, okay. So it was for you. Okay.
I'll Earth, wind, fire, water. I forget the other one.
Wind?
Wind's one. And then they make, and then the kids put their hands together, and then fucking Captain Planet emerges. No, it does sound Marvel. Captain Planet. Had a great run of comics in the 60s.
I still really like Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks. I just don't think this is an offseason for all the reasons I already mentioned, what Goody said, and what we've been told. It's year three of the plan. It's time to have some urgency. You can't just sit back and say, well, we're just going to wait for the young guys to develop. You can't do that.
Yeah, so I mean, to answer any of these questions, I think Paul's original was, should we get excited about any of these guys? I mean, you can do what you want. I just hate being the conduit of it. And I personally don't want to see the sausage be made. I personally don't want to have the conversation I just had.
You work at a sausage factory. You literally work at a sausage. Your job is to see and describe how the sausage is made and to engage with how the sausage is made.
I know, but none of the sausage we ever make ever gets sent out for distribution.
Okay. All right.
I just wasted a bunch of meat.
I guess then I'm here to tell you that I think that this batch of sausage could be different.
That's what they say every year about every sausage we make.
Yeah.
This one's going out, guys. I promise. I promise the Randy Moss labeled sausage is coming out.
Look, I don't have all of that PTSD. I missed the Randy Moss boat. I kind of remember Marshawn Lynch. So I guess those are your demons that you have to battle. I think this could be different. And I think Packers fans are getting angsty, demanding that it be different a little bit, and it fits the Packers timeline and all of the different reasons. I hate to just repeat the same stuff over and over again, but I think this offseason could be different. Maybe it won't be.
All right, I got a question for you.
Okay.
And this is regarding a Bartometer that I'm trying to put together.
Okay.
For Thursday's show from a national perspective. I don't know what to do for a Bartometer. So I think I settled on, I mean, it's too late now. It's like writing an SNL sketch and it's Friday and this is the idea you have and you better make it good because you got no more time.
Okay.
The teams that are most likely, starting now, any sport, to win multiple championships by the end of the decade.
Okay.
And all I have right now is the Dodgers. So any sport most likely to win multiple titles, I think, and if they won this year, it doesn't count. So I kind of want to put Eagles in there still. But they just won. Are they going to win two more Super Bowls? Is anybody? The NFL team that I was thinking of was the Chargers. The Chargers.
I mean, you can do what you want on national radio. I probably wouldn't step into that bear trap. Give me your reasoning, though.
I think that, you know, the playoffs, if they can get through the West and the Chiefs go down and they can start to, like, get home field, they're never going to have to deal with elements. They got Harbaugh. They're continuing to craft this team. They're, you know, making sure they've got cap room. I think Harbaugh, when he came in, that was kind of a three-year thing where it was like, okay, I'm going to institute my team first or my style. Now I'm going to get the players to fit my team. So I do think by year three, they'll have a shot. And then I guess I like their path because I think the Chiefs are going to. I think the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs.
You like the Chargers' path that goes directly through the division of Patrick Mahomes and the conference of Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow.
Well, the other team I would take is the Bills.
To win multiple.
Or even the Bengals, but the you know, this Hendrickson thing. But there's got to be an NFL team in there. I don't think Detroit makes a Super Bowl with Dan Campbell. I'll say that. I think they've already peaked.
It'll be really interesting to see. I know this is a really like overdone take, but it will be really interesting to see what he looks like with two new coordinators and you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And then people are going to say, well, Nick Sirianni figured it out.
I don't think so.
So I think in the NFL, as Paul Himmig returns, I've asked Grant about a Bartometer I need to get my fucking ass in gear on. I want to take, by starting now till the end of the decade, any sport, which teams are the most likely to win multiple championships?
Ooh, over the next decade. I love it.
Well, just till the end of the decade.
Oh, through 20, including the 2029 seasons.
Yeah. 2030.
Okay. 2030.
So like five Super Bowls, five.
Remember that era of the Bart Winkler Morning Show where he just had a cough for like an entire year?
Me?
Yeah.
Was that 2020?
Yeah, it might have been. Was that
when I had long COVID?
All right, so this is great. Which ones are like, what are we considering?
Right now? In the NFL, I said Bills. Oof. I said Chargers.
Oh.
Now, you didn't just say Chargers. That was the first name that came out of your mouth. Your point was if they can get home field advantage, they play in a dome, but they don't have any fans, and getting home field advantage means winning a division over Patrick Mahomes.
Then I said the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I just don't think I don't think that's that crazy, the Chiefs missing the playoffs. I think that's
really
a decent bet.
Because I think what's going to happen is there's going to be, like, they had a 9-8 season.
Yes.
So they're already on the down.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have an 8-9 season, it's going to feel so shocking. But really, last year they had the downward season.
Yeah.
It just didn't look like it because they won.
Yeah.
That makes sense if you wanted to.
Well, I mean, it does make sense.
That I agree with. If you wanted to make sense, yeah. All right, I see what you mean.
You're not supposed to statistically ever win that number of close games, especially in the ways that they did. Like, it's a statistical improbability. The Bills and Chargers are two really interesting. I think the Celtics should be on this list. I think the Lakers should be on this list.
Let's finish with NFL first.
I don't even know. Like, that's
Eagles.
So are we saying starting now?
Starting now, so it didn't count.
What?
Starting now. The race starts now. I don't care.
I would nominate the Ravens. I would nominate.
Why are you guys so obsessed with all the AFC teams who are allergic to advancing in the postseason?
Because it's going to, I mean, because you get a 6-year window here.
Because the Chiefs are done now. It's open.
No, they're not. Not even close to done. They're just getting started. Yeah. They're not even close to done.
I'll take this bet. You know, Bart, you always say, like, you wish you'd put money on the things that you feel strongly about, but you never do. Put money on the Chiefs not making the playoffs because you believe this one strongly, just like you have other takes that you've made money.
Like the Niners last year.
You never put money on the things that you have bold takes about. I'm going to nominate the Commanders.
They have a
3-year controlled, cost controlled quarterback. 4, if you include his team option. So they can build.
And I got to think about this too, Paul. Where are my listeners?
Okay.
I got Buffalo listeners and I got DC listeners. I don't have a lot of LA.
The Bartometer is a machine. It should not care about this soft skill stuff.
It factors in everything.
Not. I'm going to say it's not the Lions. I think they are
skills.
I don't think the Lions make a Super Bowl.
It shouldn't care about the human element of this. It should just
Lions don't make a Super Bowl.
They're going to take. I mean, it's hard to not take a step back when you're 15-2, but you can't lose both coordinators and then be like, "Oh, we're fine." I don't think the Vikings. Is it? I just don't think it's that homer to say the Packers. Maybe it is.
I can't put the Packers in there. I don't believe it.
Not even in the top eight.
No, but Justin Herbert's going to storm the AFC multiple times. Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know what? I think my number one choice in the NFL is the Commanders.
Okay.
Here's why. Like, when the Seahawks were, like, in year two of Russell Wilson, I was hell-bent that, like, this was the perfect recipe. They had a good quarterback, a very good quarterback, with a young Russ, that they didn't have to pay anything to for a long time. So then even if in the benefit that the Commanders have versus those Seahawks is like you can also pick up that fifth-year option on Jaden Daniels. And, yes, it gets more expensive in year five, but it's still not like in present-day dollars a $60 million quarterback commitment. So you can build such a good team that if Jaden Daniels is even a top 10 quarterback for the next 3 to 4 seasons, if they build a good team around him like Seattle did with their defense and with some of the supporting cast, that is really – that they've already come this far in his first year. Again, I'm super sold on the idea of having a rookie contract controlled great quarterback already and having a window to build around that cost control, I think is huge.
I think the Bartometer could argue that. Sure.
Okay.
Basketball, you wanted to say Celtics?
I just think they're not, I mean, I hate saying it. I don't want to say it.
Thunder, Cavs?
I think the Thunder could arguably be the top team.
No, Grant doesn't like these small market teams.
I did complain on my show the other day that like, hey, man, I'm kind of happy the Lakers are good. Like, good for the Wolves and the Thunder and the
Cavs. I'm going to put the Lakers in there.
So I said the Lakers and I initially bronched the NBA, but I would also say the Thunder should probably be number one on the overall list or the Dodgers.
Dodgers are one.
So then I'm going to put Thunder 2.
They're young. I don't know what I'm not. I mean, do I even pretend like the NHL exists?
You don't. Well, maybe you need like one like Carlosometer just to help you there. Carlosometer.
Apparently there's real rumors to Brad Marchand and Sidney Crosby teaming up on the Avalanche.
Got me interested.
Do you heard about this too?
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
And then I'm like, what? When the fuck is the trade deadline? And it's not till Friday.
Yeah, it's this week.
What?
Ooh. How do we feel about the, I mean, there's the unknown of Wembanyama's situation, but
Spurs?
Spurs.
Well, yeah, if he doesn't die.
I mean,
people are like, oh, well, there's a good chance he'll survive this. What?
Yeah, scary.
It was up for debate.
Have you really heard that? Has that really been said?
Yeah, people are like, oh, these kind of blood clots. It's okay. These kind of blood clots are 97% survival.
Oh, my gosh.
There's 3% chance it's not?
Oh, that's awful.
What about, I was going to put for college football, I was going to put Ohio State.
Now you've lost me. I don't know how to answer college football.
Because I feel like the Big Ten is, we love the Big Ten, right?
Oh, hey, by the way, another one you should have, as I look through these NBA games, that you should have put your money where your mouth is. The Pistons making the playoffs.
I know. What the fuck, dude?
Such a great take. I thought it was nuts, and you were right. And you,
wait, what? I got to find the show I said that on.
And you have nothing to show for it other than nothing.
Because Ohio State and the Big Ten, like, they're the only ones that are really acting like an SEC team. They're the only one. Like, and the SEC, you know, they're going to say, oh, fuck around with each other. And now Ryan Day's got this monkey off his back. He's just going to go ham.
Ohio State has more money than all those teams in the SEC. SEC itself.
Ohio State's on the list. I am going to put the Indiana Fever on the list.
Are they good? Aren't they terrible?
If there's one sport where the commissioner is going to fix a championship, guys.
Yeah.
I won't complain about it.
There's a lot of people that call in that think the commissioner fixed this Dallas to Luka trade.
I heard you have a pretty insane call the other night about
that. I've had a lot. They're really, at one point I hung up on someone. I go, You guys are really testing my patience. Like, this is getting absurd. The kind of calls that I'm taking.
You could be the host that like hates his callers and like always just is at the end of the rope with them.
But also kind of a fun. But thing. Also, I'm the host that like I do feel
that I'll co-sign
that I am as good with callers as anybody in the game.
You are.
I agree.
I'm talking any level.
That is your thing. That is your niche.
So if I create this new dynamic where I'm very inviting and very friendly, but then if you look at me the wrong way, I go fucking nuts on you.
Well, here, can I do an example of exactly that? Grant, here's the typical Bart Winkler show interaction with Barry in Boston. Barry says something crazy. Bart says, Barry, you're so dumb. And then Barry says, I love you, Bart. Have a good night. I love you so much, man. After Bart just told him he was the dumbest.
Yeah.
So there's like a charm to your, you know, yeah.
What station are you on in Boston? Or does he just like stream it or something?
WEEI.
You're on EEI? Damn.
For 2 hours a night.
It's fucking sick.
I'm on in Boston for 2 hours a fucking day.
Different planes. Different battlefield.
I'm on in Chicago for 3 hours a night.
I tell you what.
Don't you think one of these stations would be like, hey, you take up 1/8 of our day's programming. Can we do something with you? I don't care what fucking time of the day it is. They give me 1/8 of their day. Mm-hmm. This day, which is so, you know, you can't, oh my God, Mom, Dad, listen to the radio. I'm about to do my first update on WEEI. Meanwhile, I just stroll in there and throw my fucking nuts out on 3 hours, and it's no one gives a shit.
Barry
no one cares.
Barry in Boston cares.
I'm on some of the biggest, most prestigious stations in this country, and I'm as irrelevant as ever.
So let me.
How?
Well, I'll give you one way you could change that, and that would be to promote your show on social media, which you don't do.
I ain't paying $50 a month for fucking Twitter.
That is the extreme example. You could just tweet about your show once in a while.
I threw up some reels the other day.
Can you just let me run it for you? I'll do it for free. Just to help you. Run your social. You're so bad at it.
It's not that I'm bad. It's that I'm not doing it.
That's bad.
I shouldn't need to.
But it would help your irrelevance become, you know, somewhere relevant. North
the Tonight
irrelevant.
Show is on affiliates all over the country. Jimmy Fallon's got no problem. He doesn't have to go and say, oh, I need to spend 3 hours helping my algorithm game.
You know what? I bet if you go back to the beginning of Jimmy Fallon's show, when he was new, he did do that.
I'm not new anymore.
Fallon took a lot of slings and arrows on Twitter this week for his interview with who was it? Everyone is complaining about the video, and I felt it would be too cringy to watch, but now I can't remember who it was.
I think Jimmy Fallon's the worst talk show host ever.
I am a Conan stan.
I like Conan a lot. I just think there's no one worse than Jimmy Fallon. It's so fake. It's been fake the whole time he's been. It's just like, everything is the funniest. Everything is the best. Just fuck off.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I mean, it's just inauthentic. It's gross. You don't have to like bend over for every single thing that your guest is promoting. Just like, oh yeah, I thought it was fine.
Oh, it was Jack Antonoff, which I think he kind of is whatever.
Bleachers Man?
Yeah. He makes music that sounds like oatmeal. And I don't like, I that don't.
Did you just do like easy to digest? Is that what you're saying?
No. I don't even think you digest oatmeal. Doesn't it just pass through your body? I don't know. I'll watch the clip later. But there is a large contingent on the internet that doesn't like Fallon, and they'll mobilize when he opens the door for him. I saw it this week.
Have you ever met anybody that like loves Fallon?
That's impossible.
That's like, oh, that like
I had a teacher in high school.
Way.
Yeah, huh? I had a teacher in high school. he would bring it up, but this is before Fallon took over. He's like, I just think Jimmy Fallon's great. I think he deserves a slot. I remember him saying that. And he showed us this video where Fallon did this nerdy bit about the Gadsden Purchase, that strip of land in Arizona. I'll send it to you guys. There's one person I actually can think of who like multiple times brought it up. But your point remains.
Like the way that I go out and try to get people to watch Severance. People are not doing that with, hey, do you guys by the chance, do you watch The Tonight Show?
That, I mean, imagine.
It's also a bygone product from a bygone era.
Here's the thing.
I think that's hold on.
If you met somebody and that person, you're talking about sports and the conversation pivots to, and that person says, hey, have you seen the newest Fallon? It's really good.
What is it? What are they on Staten Island?
If said person said that, you'd be like, well, conversations like
Jimmy did this bit with Drew Barrymore. Me and the wife were in stitches.
You should have seen it, man. You'd have to end that conversation.
We had to rewind it a couple of times just to get all the jokes.
I just think I am, especially even more than you guys, like anti-late night, because I don't have these fond memories of Carson and Letterman when it was actually a thing.
Carson's
like,
an asshole. I hate him.
I know you do, but you were at least around when the format was strong. Like, I don't have anything to grab onto. Like, yeah, this isn't great, but oh, I remember when it was this. Like,
you
I
know my mom's
that.
Best friend and babysitter taught me as a secret?
Uh-oh.
This is how old I am. She goes, I've mastered it, where I can flip. What they do on Leno and Letterman is they announce the guest. Like, you can switch back and forth to see the guest. So at 10:36, she's like on Leno and it says Mel Gibson. And then she goes to Letterman and says, fucking who in the 90s? The
Ted
other
Danson.
Guy.
Ted
and then she dives it and it's like
Ted Danson.
Like before TV guides and anything. That's how you would find out. And then she'd decide which one to watch.
Wow. It's the whole, I understand they're there to tell a story or to do a bit. And I understand there's a little discussion backstage, like, hey, how can I set you up? But it's just so obvious. It's good, it's obvious.
I think in the era of like long form podcasts.
So I understand you recently been to the airport. Is that true?
And then, yeah, like, exactly. You just got like this perfect story ready to go about the airport trip you made. But don't you think though, like, I think the change, Grant, I think like what you're referring to, I agree with. And it's because we've gotten accustomed to this long form dialogue where you can just talk and it's authentic and it's real.
Sure.
And you guys don't know my question. Sometimes I do one, sometimes we do five. We don't know what topic it's.
Yeah, you ask me and you leave.
Sometimes I leave and come back and it's fine.
But also, 30 seconds. So people are either seeking out content that holds their attention for an hour
or that
they can scroll 15 seconds.
True.
Nobody's watching 8-minute clips of jack shit.
You're right. It's either long or it's super short. You're right. It's a good thought. You should
share
that.
That's what she said. Referencing cock size.
All right, so what teams are on your finalist list for the Bartometer?
I guess the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Fever, the Commanders. Do I put another baseball team on there? Do I go Mets or Yankees?
Celtics? No.
Never Mets. Never the Mets.
Thunder.
Mets will never win, Dick. Neither will the Thunder. I think the Thunder will peak. This is maybe an unpopular opinion. I think the Thunder will peak the same way and in the same place that the 2018-2019 Bucks did. Regular season machine, but when things slow down and teams start trying in the postseason, I don't think they're good enough.
Wow.
Well, if Peyton Pritchard scoring 40 fucking points in a game.
Why is everyone,
okay,
go ahead, Paul.
I was gonna say, the thing with the Thunder is like, as good as they might be now and are right now, they still have as many draft assets in this span that Bart's doing the Bartometer for than anybody. They're still stockpiled. So like, even if you want to do something crazy, like the thing I heard Bill Simmons say the other week, like, well, the Thunder should give up 8 first round picks to get the top pick and get Cooper Flagg. They could.
Yeah, but no one will ever do that in the NBA. That's the problem.
I disagree. I think big swing. I mean, the Luka trade, I mean, the NBA is where major unpredictable trades, big swings happen more than any other sport.
But I'm saying if you're a terrible team and your franchise, like if you're the Wizards, I don't care if the Thunder give me 1,000 first round picks. If I'm about to pick Cooper Flagg, that's the only reason I would, Paul, look at it this way. The only reason I would take 1,000 first round picks on instead of drafting Cooper Flagg is so I could turn around and eventually try to use those picks to acquire Cooper Flagg. You know what I mean?
Well, I agree with you. Nico Harrison disagrees with you because, like, are the Mavericks ever going to get a player as good as Luka as they try to get back to being as good as they were with Luka? Like, they won't. It's almost, you're always looking for that. I agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying, even without the ridiculous example of 8 firsts for Cooper Flagg, they have so much to play with, the Thunder do,
sure,
to improve. So as good as they are now, if the idea is they can win 2 titles between now and 2030, how good are they in 2028, 2029? What have they done with those picks? And if they're as good with them as they have been in the past 5 years, it could be tough.
And that's why, like, the wildest thing about the Mavs, they don't even own their picks. It'd be one thing if they had a lot of draft picks.
I know.
But they don't. The other NBA thing that I want to mention, maybe you guys have seen this. I keep seeing segments this week, you know, or like teasers from radio accounts on Twitter where it's like, and coming up next, so-and-so will talk about this. Why do I keep seeing radio shows where, like, I'll tell you why Jason Tatum can't be the face of the league. Who on God's green cock is out there trying to say that Jason Tatum should be the fit? Where's that coming from? Why? Who are we pushing against?
Should I draw you the straw man? Like,
well, I mean, like, I guess the Celtics people, but like Jason Tatum is like the 5th best player in basketball, 4th best player, 6th best player. Like,
I'm more comfortable with 6 than 4, but okay.
I am as well, but I just want to be, you know, I'm not trying to be biased against the Celtics. Have you guys watched Bill Simmons' new Celtics documentary?
No God. Intention to.
I feel like he just made that for himself. And trust me, I've done that with lots of content, but I'm also not on HBO.
He got presumably paid handsomely to put together something that he cares about. More power, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
One last thing. Do you think when all is said and done, the number one part of Devin Williams' legacy is they got the Yankees beard thing to go away?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He did that.
Punched a wall, got the Yankees to drop their facial hair policy.
I would have tried to do it before shaving my face.
But in his team picture, he had a beard.
I don't think he did. Did he?
He had at least a goatee with enough scruff to be where if you showed a kid and you were teaching them the concept of beards, he would say that is a beard.
Interesting.
Devin Williams. All it took was one guy. Your tater tots are done. Boys, appreciate you.
This is fun. Nice to chat with you both. Paul, sorry you had to dip out, but I enjoy my time with you always.
Yes, same. I'm excited to hear. Oh, Grant, let me ask you this real quick before you go.
Sure.
How many minutes of the next 2 hours of your show, how many minutes is Trey Hendrickson?
Probably 60. Probably 55% Trey Hendrickson, DK Metcalf.
Wow.
20% Badgers beating Gophers, and then a little NBA stuff.
So you kind of answered my question that you might have answered when I was away for a little while, which is like, pay it no mind, you're saying, you're going to pay it a hell of a lot of mind.
Yeah. Why else do I exist? Why does this room and this microphone exist if to not pay these things mind?
So, but wait, though, like I said, sports radio-wise, pay it mind. But like,
well, Grant said, I said, I'm tired of waiting for the sausage to be made. And he said, you're a sausage maker.
Yeah, you work in a sausage factory. Like, I don't know.
But we're recalling all of our products.
I've become less interested in what the correct topic is. And I'd rather just do what's interesting and fun. You know what I mean? Like, today. Maybe we should be talking about why are the Bucks so much better without Bobby Portis? I don't know. Is that really moving the needle for 2 hours? Maybe a little bit. I'll throw it out there. Sprinkle it, you know, see if anyone bites, see if anyone calls. But like, I'm probably not going to lead with that. It'll be football.
No. All right, cool.
Bye, guys. Stick around for our patron only podcast in which we'll break down the Brandon McManus contract extension.
See, the other day someone commented, they're like, they just signed McManus. I'm like,
they already had McManus.
He was already here.
And now he's here longer. What's the story? Gentlemen, appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, I see you
for
both.
Fapping into the Winkler